Wow. I mean, he beat them again. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, Donald Trump, when I say the guy is like Teflon, I'm not kidding. I mean, you thought Fox News was a big deal, right? I beg to differ. Donald Trump beating Fox News again spectacularly. We're going to get into all the details. Plus, Fox must be kind of angry because nowadays they're like doing Biden's bidding on the whole shrinkflation thing, which is a whole bunch of fake news like you wouldn't believe. All right, we'll talk about that. And MSNBC anchors are starting to get really nervous because Joe Biden keeps going up in the polls. So what are they doing? Oh, they are trying to make fun of the rest of America. Like, that's really going to work. And then did you see this story? It seems Ms. Fannie Willis is in even more trouble. Even more trouble because of the potential meeting that she may have had with Kamala Harris like a month before the indictment. We're getting into all of it. Great to have you here, everyone. What'd you think of that State of the Union? Not much, probably, right? Again, great to have you here. We're sponsored, as always, by our good friends over at LegacyPMInvestments.com. LegacyPMInvestments.com, 1-866-589-0560. If you're worried about inflation, as I'm sure you are, as you know I am, because it's more than shrinkflation, it is inflation, then give them a call, 1-866-589-0560. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you know what? CNN, they said it well. Why Donald Trump's Super Tuesday win is a defeat for Rupert Murdoch and for Fox News. Look, I don't wish them anything other than the best. Right? Well, it's true. I mean, look, there's a lot of wonderful people that work there, and I think they're very well-intentioned. And it is also true that they've kind of lost their way, shall we say, since the era of Donald Trump first came to be. They used to control the news in a pretty decisive way, at least on the Republican side of things. And all of a sudden, this guy comes out of nowhere, and he's got America with him more than they're with Fox. Now, that can make people over at Fox a little bit ornery, shall we say, which may be in part why you had Fox actually trying to see somebody like Nikki Haley get elected, or even somebody like Ron DeSantis. Now, I could have told you neither one of them was going to be able to do the job. I knew that because, well, you know, there's quite a base there, a base of support, if you would, for Donald Trump. But not only is there this base of support, there's a charisma, whether you like him or whether you hate him, there's definitely a charisma there that was not going to be matched by the likes of Ron DeSantis, whom I've interviewed, by the way. He's kind of a drip and a drab. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm sure he's a lovely person. But he's not that exciting, shall we say, on the set. Even when you go to commercial break, you know, most people, if they like you, if they like politics, right? If they like people, and you kind of need to like people in order to be a politician, well, they want to keep talking. They want to have a good time, right? It's not like, okay, it's all for the camera. Like Donald Trump, I'll give you that example. As soon as the cameras were off, last time I interviewed him, boom, he wanted to talk. He wanted to talk even some more. And I thought that was really interesting because too many politicians that I've interviewed in the past, whether it be DeSantis, whether it be Mitt Romney, it's like once the camera's off, boom, like they're done. They're out of it. They don't want to talk. So you got to kill 2.5 minutes worth of commercial time with Ron DeSantis sitting on the set. And it's like, okay, it's like watching paint dry. Okay. I could have told you he was not going to succeed on a national level because of that. I mean, he just doesn't really like people. He doesn't have the personality. He doesn't have the persona. And then Nikki Haley had a host of other things going on. And what was funny is one was to the right of Trump, one was to the left of Trump, and yet neither one of them were going to get to first base, no matter how hard Fox News tried. So Fox News has been playing this game for a really long time now. I mean, they've been trying and trying and trying to take him out of the race. I want to quote from, one of those emails that came out as a result of that whole lawsuit to which Fox had to pay nearly $1 billion for. What was it, $787 million? Hey, and now they got Smartmatic on the way. I'm talking about the Dominion thing. Well, there were a whole bunch of things that came out in the discovery process, and one of them was an email that Rupert Murdoch, who recently stepped down to make room for his son, that Rupert Murdoch sent out to some of his key executives. And I quote, this came out during the litigation. I quote, "We want to make Trump a non-person." Okay, so they wanted him gone. In fact, they went so far, it says, to even block him, effectively blacklisting Trump for a time, according to CNN. I can tell you, I haven't worked there, that that kind of thing did happen. In other words, they would go silent on something. Once I had an interview opportunity with the Vice President of the United States of America, and they were like, no, you know, he's been on the air too much. I finally got the interview, but you wouldn't believe that was like pulling teeth, because there had been some decision made that they weren't going to be too friendly with the president or the vice president anymore at that particular time. So they didn't want them on the air. And so this kind of thing happens. Can you imagine? I mean, would you turn down an interview with the president or the vice president? Well, this is what they were doing, because they were trying so desperately to prop up the likes of Ron DeSantis, which I told you, he never stood a shot in HELL. And then there was Nikki Haley. Now, she really never stood a shot because, well, she seemed a little too aligned with corporate interests. Shall we say Fox News' interests? So, take a look at the stock price. It ain't pretty, folks, over the last several years. Of course, that has a lot to do with the changing medium, streaming, this, that, and the other that we're doing right here. Disney's not necessarily in any better shape. But their ratings have gone through some ups and downs, right? They were very anti-Trump, and all of a sudden, the little upstart Newsmax comes out of nowhere, and they're like, oh my gosh. You know, Fox at one point at 7 p.m. was losing to Newsmax because it became very anti-Trump. So that wasn't really working for them. And they tried something different. All of a sudden, now they're interviewing Fox all the time. I think they got the handwriting on the wall. But what was funny was when Donald Trump said it to Bret Baier himself, he just looked him straight in the eye and basically told him, you know what, your ratings kind of suck. This was great. Epic. Watch.
You believe that they're political witch hunts.
Of course.
But what do you say to the voter who really liked many of your policies?
They still do.
But they can't handle the scandals or the controversies or the name-calling or the vitriol. What do you say to that voter who's worried that that all leads to a general election loss?
So, based on the polls, I'm leading Biden by a lot. Based on the polls, I'm leading all of the Republicans by a lot, by 40 points. And more. Right now, I have the best polls I've ever had. People see this stuff for what it is. It's a political witch hunt. It's a continuation.
More independent voters watch Fox News than any other TV source.
A lot less than used to watch it.
They do watch. Those voters usually make up all the difference in the election. And so to the female independent voter in the suburbs who struggled with family financing because of inflation, she's now against Biden, disapproves of Biden, but wasn't with you in 2020 and so far is a hard no for you in 2024. But what do you say to that?
You're not looking at the right polls.
What do you say?
Really interesting. He says, you know what? You know, you're not looking at the right polls. You know, I just find it kind of funny. He's like, not as many as used to watch Fox News. This is a big victory for Donald Trump, because you want to talk about odds stacked against you. I mean, when you don't even have the biggest conservative network on your side, and he didn't, trust me. I mean, think about even just all the anchors that actually liked Donald Trump, or at least his policies. You know what? I am fair. I am totally, utterly fair. And so I don't care, like Republican, Democrat, you want to cut taxes, you want to grow our economy, you want to keep us safe, you want a strong border. I'm not even partisan on this front. I'm actually a registered independent, and I'm willing to vote for any side that's going to do the right things. And so I say this with you knowing that, okay? You need to know that about me. He had the best policy by far for America, but it's not the policy that, say, is embedded and entrenched with corporate interests. And that's the distinguishing factor here. So a lot of my colleagues, I mean, Lou Dobbs, for example, Tucker, myself, does Steve Hilton have a show anymore over there? I mean, there's just a lot of people, right, that really spoke to the policy itself, that liked the policy, that aren't there. And I do think that there is a definitive desire for executives at Fox to be in bed, so to speak, with the establishment, right? They've got to have the establishment on their side if they want to stay in business effectively. And so that's partly why they have Paul Ryan on the board. Paul Ryan, who clearly isn't doing himself or them any favors. I mean, you think about the trajectory of this company, and it's so poorly managed that even although they apparently hated Trump, they wound up in the situation that they got themselves into with the Dominion voting issue. I mean, wow, right? Because if you were trying to be protective of yourself, if you brought in this fancy lawyer who had been the guy who drafted the Patriot Act and made him in charge of things, wouldn't you think that somehow you'd avoid the nearly $1 billion fine? Nope. So the company's got it coming at them from every direction in that sense. They got Paul Ryan there trying to make sure they walk the walk. And yet they've got their viewers that are saying, well, I'm not just going to be spoon-fed whatever you want to give me. And the viewers, they have a voice. I mean, so many of you, I'm watching this in real time, and it's terrific. And thank you. You know, a lot of you are in the chat, and we can get to some of your comments in just a moment. But look, we got an enormous number of people here. You think about this. I just started going live here not even a year ago. And look at how we've grown up to 220,000 people. See, this is the future. And Fox News is going to have a lot of challenges in that environment, because now a candidate that's good, that resonates with the people, can go straight to the people. He doesn't need Fox News. I don't need Fox News. I don't need a network. Tucker doesn't need a network. Lou doesn't need a network. Megan started her own thing and is killing it. You know what? No one needs a network. Not even the politicians running for the presidency. All they need, all I need, all we need is each other. The people have a voice like they've never had before. And so that's pretty darn scary for these big network establishments, including Fox News. So, you know what? Donald Trump, he wins again. He wins again. He wins again. And now they're going to have to deal with him. He's going to be the nominee for the GOP. What the heck are they going to do now? Right? What are they going to do now? Maybe they carry Biden's water for him. Think about it. I mean, they can't come right out and say that they prefer Biden. But if the Murdoch family prefers Biden, then what happens? I'll show you. Because there was a story on their main flagship news show last night ahead of the State of the Union. And they were talking all about shrinkflation and what shrinkflation actually, maybe they came out tonight, what shrinkflation really is. You see, Biden is trying to blame inflation on big corporations that are just trying to get one over on the consumer. So he explained it last night in the State of the Union. He's like, oh, you know, like you don't get as many potato chips in your potato chip bag anymore. It's all just filled with air. And Fox decided to run with this. By the way, it's totally fake. It's fake news, and I'm going to show you why in just a second. But before I do, just take a look at how they are presenting this. I mean, it cracks me up. They're doing Biden's work for him.
One way businesses are dealing with high prices is by offering customers less of their products. It's called shrinkflation. It's getting a lot of attention now. Correspondent David Lee Miller shows us how it works from New York.
Shoppers are paying more for just about everything. But chances are some price hikes might have gone unnoticed because of shrinkflation, the stealthy practice of keeping prices stable but reducing the quantity of a product.
Aww, isn't that nice? I mean, it must be some kind of great kumbaya moment. Really, I mean, Biden and Fox. And now Fox is explaining what Biden is trying to present. You see, the reason you have inflation, ladies and gentlemen, is really just because of those big corporations. They're trying to take advantage of you. You know what? It's not true. It's not true. And you know how I know it's not true? My little corporation that has no interest in taking advantage of anyone, 76Research, 76Research.com, we ran some numbers. And we looked at it. My colleague, Rob Horton, who's been a fund manager on Wall Street for so many, for 25 years, absolutely, positively brilliant, brilliant guy. I only team with the best. And I'm telling you, he ran all of this and we looked at this together and I'm like, wow. So you take the top 10 retailers in America right now, the top 10, and Amazon's not in here because Amazon's got the AWS business, which is something different entirely. So if you really just want to look at pure retail plays, 9 out of 10 of them, when you see their gross margins, those gross margins are less than they were in 2020 when Donald Trump was president. So in other words, it's not shrinkflation, it's actually inflation. Okay, prices are just going up. Call it what you want. I mean, maybe they give you less and you pay more. It doesn't matter. This is just plain old inflation, and it is courtesy none other than Joe Biden and maybe Jerome Powell and maybe Chuck Schumer, right? I mean, they all had to spend. So you had Congress spending, and then you had Joe Biden giving the third stimulus, and then you had Jerome saying, okay, well, we'll print some more, and what did you get? You got inflation, okay? And you can call it whatever you want, Joe, shrinkflation. This is just the blame game. This is you trying to desperately point to somebody else. And now you got Fox to do it with you. I mean, that just cracks me up. 76research.com. We can talk about this some more, but basically, I'm so proud of it. I'm so proud of it. You can get your free guide to independent investing over there. It is critical right now to understand all of this. And I'm just sort of shocked. I mean, like, what kind of deal was that? Are they trying to get an interview with him? You know, believe it or not, things like that actually happen in the media. They do. You know, they'll trade these little favors behind the scenes. And I do wonder if the anchor of that particular show is trying very hard to get an interview with Joe Biden. And so consequently is like, oh, okay, I'll do you this favor. I'll do you that favor. Right? Like, I mean, it happens. It certainly happens. And I don't think we should be naive about any of this. But you know what bugs me? It bugs me that everyday Americans are once again getting the shaft. And it used to be like, okay, at least Fox was looking out for people. Okay, now you guys don't even have Fox. I mean, you don't, okay? You have me and you have some other people that are streaming and we care about you. You get my colleague, Rob, who I have known him for so long. He cares about you over at 76 Research. We care. But there's a group of people out there at MSNBC, effectively state media. They're all state media these days. MSNBC that want to actually make fun of you. I mean, they not only don't care about you, They think you're just sort of the scum of the earth. I mean, watch them here talking about people and making fun of the fact that people are worried about immigration. You look at the crime numbers. You look at what's going on in this country. We have every reason, okay, to worry about immigration. Every single reason to be concerned about our borders. When they're flying in 320,000 people in the dead of the night, taking them to various cities, and the cities don't even know they're coming. You think Americans shouldn't be worried about that? Watch what they think at MSNBC.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build the wall. Like, what? I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration.
Wow. So, Rachel Maddow, who is probably one of the most irresponsible journalists I've ever, we can't even call her a journalist. She's an entertainer, right? That's just pure entertainment. One of the most irresponsible people I have seen on television. She's compelling. She's interesting. She's wild. I mean, the conspiracy theories. I was like, wait a second. Yeah, they always wanted to go after the likes of me for saying, you know, this dossier doesn't really make all that much sense. And yet she was stringing that thing out night after night after night. Any good reporter could read that. and conclude what I concluded, which was that this was some kind of opposition research document. This was not an intelligence document. It didn't read like an intelligence document. It read like something that was getting handed to Star Magazine that you'd see at the supermarket counter. So it didn't make any sense at all. And yet MSNBC and Rachel Maddow, they ran with this just breathlessly, and nobody called them out. But oh gosh, the New York Post finds out that Hunter Biden's laptop is under investigation by the FBI, which it was, and they report this, and they lose their Twitter account. And likewise, people that were reporting this would get shut down. I mean, look, I've been through it, right? Happy to be on the other side of all of that, because there were certain things that you just couldn't say during March 2020. We shouldn't live in an environment where you can't say certain things. And yet, these people, the ones that want to make fun of you because you care about immigration and you're a little worried about inflation and these kinds of very important issues for everyday Americans, they make fun of it, and yet they're allowed to be on television and to report all kinds of craziness. Now, in the spirit of the First Amendment, I'm not saying you need to shut them down, but I am saying, hey, you know what? Let's be fair. Don't shut one side down while giving the other a free pass, because then you really are living. I mean, Atlas Shrugged, one of my favorite books. It really feels like that these days. We got to talk about Fannie Willis and Kamala Harris coming up. But before I do, thank you for all your nice compliments. As I read so many of you are saying, you know, I feel great lately. I feel great. And it's in part, of course, because I just started this company, 76 Research, which I'm thrilled about. It's in part that, you know, I was covering the State of the Union last night and didn't actually have to be in Washington, D.C. covering the State of the Union, didn't actually have to be in New York City on set, but could be right here with all of you. It's a very different thing, and I love it. But I also think I feel so good because I'm taking these capsules from Balance of Nature, the fruits and veggie ones, just terrific. The company's been around about 20 years. Terrific backstory, actually. I encourage you to go to the website and read all about it. You can also give them a ring if you want to get your fruits and veggies capsules. 1-800-246-8751 is their phone number. Make sure, whatever you do, do not get these things without using my discount code, because I think I have the best discount code out there. If I don't, there's going to be you know what to pay, but 35% off, 35% off if you use my name, Trish. So go to balanceofnature.com and check them out. You know what? It's worth a try, right? All the things out there. It's great because it's gluten-free, which is wonderful, and there's no junk in there. So again, take a look. Do your own due diligence, but I'm feeling pretty good. Balanceofnature.com. All right, let's get to Fannie, because Fannie Willis and Kamala Harris allegedly had a meeting at the White House like a month before the indictment happened. I mean, you know, Donald Trump keeps saying that there's this conspiracy going on to take him down, that this is effectively election interference. I'm telling you, if they can prove this one out, I suspect he's got a few legs to stand on. So Fannie Willis apparently went to the White House. Now, the word on the street from the left is no, they didn't have a meeting. She was just there with some people from Atlanta, and they were having a shindig, and they didn't actually get to meet, nor did they speak directly about this case. But then there's another wrinkle, you see, because Fannie's boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, lover, as Donald Trump likes to call him, Nathan Wade, who was making all kinds of oodles of money. I mean, he'd never seen money like this. But he charged $2,000 when he went to the White House to meet with officials about this case. So someone was meeting with officials at the White House about this case. Now, why would that be? I mean, even if it wasn't Fannie, why would Nathan be going and meeting with people at the White House? I mean, I'd like to know. I think it's a fair question. Meanwhile, I do think that Fannie's going to be off the case. I mean, there's no way the judge is going to allow this. They're going to dismantle her entire team in short order. And when that happens, it's not like the whole thing will go away. I mean, it should, But no, no, no. They'll stay at this. I mean, they're like a dog with a bone, right? So they'll stay at it. But it's going to take them a long time to actually reassemble a team. And by then, hey, November may be here. So what happens then? Are they going to go after a sitting president? Maybe this is all the more reason why you need that immunity thing to kick in, right? I'm blown away by it because the politics of this, it's so raw. It's so extraordinary. The left hates him so much, and they're willing to do whatever they need to do. Anyway, Fannie's in trouble. I want you to hear this little exchange. So this is Ashley Merchant. She's the attorney for the guy that has been prosecuted for this racketeering thing. And she's talking there with the other side about just exactly what went down with Fannie and Nathan Wade in terms of all those expenses. Because she's out there taking cruises that he's paying for. Of course, he's making all this money now that she got him a gig. And what, she pays him back in cash? That's what she expects everyone to believe? I'm guessing she didn't pay him back, but you know, hey, they're just allegations. Here's Ashley, watch. They're grilling her, by the way, in this.
A hotel at the beginning of the Royal Bahamas. I didn't include that. I didn't want to do the math, and I also did not want to.
How much does Ms. Willis make?
200-something thousand a year.
So your argument is that a person who makes $200,000 a year is actually setting up prosecutions to go on a trip that costs $3,500. That's your argument.
No, not in isolation. I mean, you're talking about in isolation.
No, I'm not talking about in isolation. I'm talking about what's in briefs. I don't know what else you may be speculating about. I'm just talking about what's in briefs that says this is the benefit that she got. And all I'm saying is that I got a person who's making $200,000, and the benefit that you're putting into the briefs, not what you may say that you may find elsewhere.
That's not all.
But the benefit in the briefs is I go on a trip with $3,300, $4,400. And they have made up all these prosecutions to go on a three-day cruise for $3,300. I mean, that's your argument. That's your argument.
That's not.
That's in the brief.
That's not our argument. So, you know, we did argue for about 3 hours. What else is in the brief?
Yes.
A lot of facts, a lot of law.
No, as far as actual financial benefit.
Oh, so the financial benefit that I put in the brief was what I could prove. I did not want to have any, as you call it, speculation. I did not want to speculate about anything else. So I did not know if Mr. Wade paid for an Uber that Ms. Willis was literally sitting in at the same time. You can kind of Ubers on each of these trips. There was a hotel at the beginning of the Royal Bahamas. I didn't include that. I didn't want to do the math. And I also didn't.
Uh-huh. How much does Ms. Willis make?
200-something thousand a year.
So, okay. Let's just go with it. All right, she makes 200 grand a year. I mean, call it 100 by the time Joe Biden and company and the IRS get done with her, right? So she makes 100 grand. 3,500 isn't insignificant, okay? Like, it's not insignificant. And as Ms. Merchant points out, that was just the tip of the iceberg. There were a whole bunch of other things. So I do think that Fannie has a problem from an ethical standpoint. The other problem that Fannie has is that it may be much worse than you think because of the cover-up. I mean, sometimes it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. I mean, if you're lying under oath and you're encouraging other people to lie under oath, you do realize, like, that is a jailable offense. Like, you cannot lie under oath, and you can't tell other people to lie. And for goodness sakes, the woman's a lawyer. She's an attorney, and she's allegedly doing this. We've got another witness that came forward saying that she overheard a phone call that Fannie made to Nathan Wade's business partner, and she told him, hey, they don't need to know anything about us. So she was encouraging this guy to lie. Now, again, allegedly, telling this guy to lie. Now, if that's the case, then how does she keep her law license? Shouldn't she be disbarred for that? And does she actually go to jail for that? I mean, you're lying under oath. That is, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? That's a big deal. And it also gives you some insight into who she is and, frankly, who these people are. I mean, a bunch of lowlifes that are desperately trying to take out a political rival. Because here's the reality. I don't know how much coffee or whatever else they were giving Joe Biden last night. I mean, like, I know we're joking about it, but gosh, that is like the most with it. I've seen him in a long time. So good for him. You know, we're happy he didn't stumble and fall at the State of the Union. I mean, it was a real concern, was it not? But if they can't actually win with the right policies and the right candidate, do they have to resort to this? And then how is that okay? It's never okay. Remember that. Never, ever, ever okay. Policy matters. The candidate matters. I'm just looking at some of your comments here. It is great to see you on this Friday evening. And I see a lot of new faces, which just gets me really excited. And I see some people that have joined the team. Melissa, thank you for joining the team. You know, her boyfriend and that phone of his. The phone of his. What was that? Like some 3,500 texts and thousands of phone calls? And this was all going on before he allegedly got the job. This is how can that be? Right? I mean, like, you know, we're all adults here. How can that be? Clearly, she wasn't working very hard for Fulton County, that's for sure. I mean, there are not enough hours in the day to be making that many phone calls. And that was actually happening. That was all happening before he actually went to work for it. So was this a job interview? All right. Like, we're going to have too much fun with this, right? Too much fun. But it's just crazy. It's actually crazy. I'm looking again through all of your, yeah, you know, a traffic court lawyer, Chad is making the point, would know that this was kind of out there. I hear you. I mean, really, really hear you. And we were just watching the scene with Ms. Merchant, and you guys were saying, hey, wait a second, don't deviate. Look, I mean, the guy was making a stupid point. I don't care if it's 10 cents. You know what? You don't take money from the taxpayers. Which brings us to another story. The 320,000 migrants that were transported into different cities throughout this country. I mean, this to me, I believe, should be illegal. The Center for Immigration Studies coming out with this. It's not like anybody was willing to tell us this was happening. And what's incredible to me is that Joe Biden swore that he wanted this to happen. In fact, if you go back, I played this in yesterday's show, so you can check it out there. And I actually played it in the day before show, so you can check it out there. If you want to go see Wednesday or Thursday was the State of the Union, but I played it ahead of the State of the Union because it was incredible. He actually went so far in those 2020 debates with other Democrats to say he welcomed a surge at the border. He wanted a surge at the border. And it wasn't right because, you know, we are a country that welcomes everybody, blah, blah, blah. Sure, okay, fine, but you got to do it the right way, right? And we actually ought to have an articulated approach, a decision where we're saying, okay, we want you. We need nurses right now. Let's go get some nurses. Okay, where do they have the most nurses? Let's have a visa program for nurses. Okay, we need janitors. Let's find, you know, the most janitors. I mean, it should be a program that actually has some rhyme or reason to it. It doesn't need to all be PhDs, believe me. No, I mean, that's not what we're about, but we need to know who's coming here. We need to know why they're coming here. We need to know that they can take care of themselves, and we need to not be shipping them in the middle of the night on taxpayer dollars to the tune of 320,000 migrants going to all over the country. Can you believe that? What is this about? Elon Musk was tweeting recently, and he had a theory that it was really about the census. And that because you can have a certain number of congressional representatives from various districts, if you have enough people and they count migrants for the number of people in your district, that really this was about making sure that they were able to gerrymander things so that they get more representatives in Congress that are blue. I mean, it's pretty cynical thinking, but he's a smart guy. And I think he's onto something. Because why would they do this otherwise? I mean, there has to be some sort of rhyme or reason to it. It's not like it necessarily helps them. For goodness sakes, Eric Adams out there saying, we can't really be a sanctuary city in New York anymore. We can't do this because we can't afford it. And you got Governor Hochul saying, all right, now we're going to have people riding, law enforcement riding on the subways in New York City because they're too dangerous. I mean, this is not right. It's like nobody's actually looking out for everyday Americans in all of this. Hey, Leslie, good to see you again. Leslie, I was just telling someone earlier today, I can always count on you. I think I was actually telling Rob, my colleague over at 76, that I was like, you know what? I have this one woman. She's just terrific. And Don, you're always here as well. Like, Don was actually with us. He's probably sleeping right now because I think he's overseas. But he was with us at 5 a.m. his time as we were doing the State of the Union. And he's the guy who's always like, hey, like, subscribe, share. So I'm going to do that for him today because I always forget to do that. But Don's always good at reminding you. And yes, I think he is sleeping and he deserves to get some sleep. Ian, 226. It's awesome, right? Thank you. Ian Barber calling out the just the fabulous growth that we have seen here, which is so exciting. Scott, welcome. Robert, welcome. I you know, there's this meme. Let me see if I can play it for you guys. I'm looking at Robert's note, and he said, Jesus Christ and Trump are the only people that care about this country. So there's this meme that I just died laughing at. I have to take out the music because they have rules about this in terms of the music, but let me just play a little bit of it so that you can see it right here. Let me see if I can pull this up because it's really funny. It's actually an old, like 1989 or maybe 1990 something movie with Will Ferrell. And it's this scene, Night at the Roxbury. Did you guys ever see that? I actually haven't seen the movie, but I just saw the meme and thought it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Okay, I can bring it up for you here. So I want you to see this, and I will actually try and pull out the music here so that we don't get in any trouble for playing music we shouldn't have. Can we do it? Can we do it? Can we do it? Oh, this is some suspense, right?
Ubers on each of these trips. There was a hotel at the beginning.
Wrong one. Well, that's a letdown. Okay. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it in my shorts feed. So you guys go over there. You can see it. And it's just really funny because basically it's this great meme where you have Will Ferrell standing about ready to get married to this woman he doesn't want to marry. And his brother comes in. He holds up a boombox, right? Like sort of take off on the other 80s movie, and he holds up the boombox and he plays this song and they're looking at each other. He's like, don't do it. And basically you see somebody watching this and it's like America and you've got Trump. So the Will Ferrell's like America and his brother is Trump. And there's all this pressure for them to be apart. But at the end of the day, America is following Trump. And I think that's what's happened. I mean, to bring it back full circle to what's going on right now at Fox. It's because you guys have the opportunity to get information yourselves. You know what's what, right? Like, you know what's up because you're actually doing your own due diligence. And this is a shift unlike anything that we have ever seen. And so you look at these media companies and their stock prices. You look at ABC, for example, which is about to get sold. By the way, should be, because I don't know how they're making any money on that show, The View. And I don't think they're going to be able to pay those big salaries anymore either over at ABC. Disney's like, okay, we got to cut the cord. They want to cut the cord even with ESPN. Now, sports programming, you would think, would be able to hold up. But they see the handwriting on the wall. And the business is no longer going to be about those big cable fees. Yet that's all Fox has. Right? Unless they can really diversify. And maybe this is partly why Lachlan's there, to kind of think through these new opportunities. And I know he was quite keen on digital and he has some interest in that, but can he do it? Right? I mean, how do you do it? How do you reinvent yourself in this environment when you have so many various factors that you need to please, you know, this one over here and that one over there, and you can't get Chuck Schumer too mad. Chuck Schumer is going to demand that you fire Tucker Carlson. He did, right? That Chuck made that demand after Tucker dared to deviate from the J6 narrative. And so you, as a consumer of news, you're out there saying, well, what else is there? Like, I don't want to be lied to. Like, the president's lying to me. The president's like, oh, there is no inflation. And the inflation that you do see, oh, that's just coming from corporations trying to make more money. They're just greedy. No, they're actually, gross margins are down. They're making less money just like everybody else, Joe Biden. You know what? Did you guys see this? I played this the other day. You look at wages adjusted for inflation. Like, we're way down. Like, we're not where we were during 2020 or during any period during the Trump administration. When I look at those numbers, you actually saw the most growth for the middle class in America that we had seen in 50 years, nearly 50 years. And they have a problem with that? I mean, the Democrats have become the party, mark my words, of let them eat cake. We'll just give them a little bit. Keep them down on the farm. Give them a little bit just to keep them happy. But how dare they ask for more? And consequently, middle-class America is feeling that squeeze in more ways than one. I mean, this is why Oliver Anthony became such a big deal, right? Because he was speaking to that middle class, where you're working really hard and you're working two or three jobs and you're trying to save for yourself and maybe your retirement someday, maybe for your kids' education, and you're lucky to be able to take a vacation each year and the cost of eggs keeps going up. I mean, this is what Americans are dealing with, and somehow they laugh at your problems like MSNBC does. They laugh and say, how dare you be concerned about things like immigration or inflation, because they have no appreciation for what the real world actually is. So that's what's happened to America, and it's a problem. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we got a big, big problem, and it's why I love that you're here. I encourage you to go and download the whole audio podcast on Apple Podcasts, and to go over to 76 Research. I actually put it in the show notes. You can get a free guide to independent investing there. We are committed to trying to help you. I got to tell you, you know, this has been a passion project for me because I know a lot about the markets. I mean, I've covered financial markets for 24 years now. Yikes. And before that, I actually worked in finance. So I know a fair amount, and I wanted to really be able to help people more. It's one thing to talk about politics and to, you know, complain about everything. I mean, that's what we do a lot here, right? As media observers, we do complain. But like, what is the solution, right? And what is my solution for you? How can I help you? Hopefully this helps a little bit. The free guide to independent investing is pretty substantial. We have 5 rules that we live by that you can see there. So go over to 76research.com and register for this, because I'm going to put this up right here. Because Rob and I have been working really, really hard, and we care about what you're doing and what your future is. So again, it's all there for you. And then we also have the 76 report if you want to subscribe to that. We also have model portfolios. If you're really committed to investing, there's about 10 or 15 stocks in each of these model portfolios that we really feel strongly about that have good stories for the future. So there's one that's the American Resilience portfolio. We have another that is inflation protected. We have a growth portfolio. It's all there for you to see and just peruse and get as much free stuff as you can as well over at 76research.com. I hope you have a terrific weekend. I may be back with you. Listen, I'm here. Come rain, come shine. Morning, noon, and night. I'm committed. I know you're committed to. Do me the favor of liking, subscribing, hitting the bell, sharing this, because there is a lot of work to be done and we don't have that much time. So we got to get cracking. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a fabulous, fabulous evening. Great weekend. And we'll talk very soon.